Sarah, agelessness. Lecture number 13. My age is brought about by my moment-to-moment thought. My age reflection is brought about by my moment-by-moment thought. What an interesting concept. My age is brought about by what I think. Now, Lydia was sitting here, and Rex was jumping all over her legs and laying down there and saying, you know, you're a nice lady, I enjoy you. And then Lydia said, just so he doesn't nibble on my toes, on my sock. And of course, then she realized she was putting a cause in motion, and she quickly stopped that, and she says, you are a very gentle, loving dog, you're doing whatever is good and right. And so Rex stopped that and reestablished himself. Now, it's his choice. It's his choice and her choice. Now, this morning, I was on the path with Rex, and as I was on the path with Rex, I came to the roadway up here, and I was thinking to myself, it'd be nice just to reach down and give Rex a cuddle, you know. And I said, Rex, did you hear me? And he turned his head, and then he came back to me and stood there and let me give him a cuddle. Now I thought to myself, if I am this good that I can whisper talk to him, you know, without saying it out loud, why don't I do it all the time? Why don't I do it when I want him to do it? When I come back to the house and I say, Rex, come on in now. But no! My thought is, Rex is going to go for a run. He's going to go by the house. Look, he's going by the house. I lost it. It's such a simple little thing. And he went by the house and he thought, well, I'm going to play some more. I'm extending my playtime. Well, and so he did. Now, thoughts are so subtle, so subtle. Other times I had thought to myself, I'll go in the gate and he'll come on in. And he did. Other times I said, he'll be waiting at the gate, because we were not there yet, he'll be waiting at the gate for me and we'll go on in together. And we did. Now, these things have happened. These things have happened, but not consistently, because occasionally my thought would be, what would happen if he, you know, he's going to run, he's not near the gate, so he's going to take off and play some more. Not that he's doing anything bad, but he just isn't where I want him to be at the moment I want him to be. So I came back, and he still wasn't in, and Ellen says, he's chasing the car. I says, so what? So I came out to come over here to give the morning lecture, and Rex was nowhere around. And so I walked around and looked, and he was nowhere around. So I said, okay, the gate's open. He can go in our house if he wants, or he can do whatever he wants. He knows where he belongs. Well, after our morning discussion, Dorothea went into her room, and she looked out the window at the golf cart sitting outside her window. And here was the prince, the king rather, King Rex, sitting in the driver's seat of the golf cart, waiting for someone to take him on a run. You know, waiting for someone to take him for a drive. He loves to sit in the golf cart. So all we have to do is have a golf cart in front of each house where we want him to be. And when we go there, he'll immediately get in the golf cart and wait for the next activity. And this is lovely. But you see, I know that. Now, why don't I just also know that he will go in the gate when I come in? Why doesn't he also come to me when we're on the path and I call him? And why doesn't he also follow my directions when I say, when he's thinking of having a regurgitated dinner, you know, and a recycled dinner? And I say, don't eat those doggy turds. That's not good. You don't need that. The veterinarians say it's not a big deal if they do that, but I don't like it. It just is not savory to my attitude. So he naturally is going to do whatever is savory to my attitude. And I am working on that. And I'm seeing some results. But the reason I'm not seeing results is that because I tell him not to. And I tell him, hey, you got good food at home. That's what you want. You got good food at home. That's what you want. Not that you don't want that. The minute I say you don't want, I have lost most of my power. I've lost most of my ability to transmit a thought to him that is going to be beneficial. So this goes right along with our thought here. My age reflection is brought about by my moment-by-moment thought. Here we're talking about agelessness, and all of us look like we have more than 18 years, you know? We just look a little older than that. And I was thinking to myself, you know, yesterday we were giving this talk on thoughts or things in our holographic universe and how it vibrates with the imagination of my thoughts. And then I thought, isn't it interesting? Now, here we are having a cup of coffee together, and Gertrude is telling us about Herbert Marti's beautiful wrinkle-free cream that takes wrinkles away from frogs, you know, and prunes and everything else, as well as people. And she was saying how wonderful it is and how it's the type of thing we really ought to all be using if we want to. But she said, this is my jar that I saved. I got one jar for me, and the other two jars are brought along for you guys. But one jar is my jar, my jar. And so she was very definite about that one jar being her jar. And so Ellen was saying, well, now, where does it work? And Dorothea was asking, and Ingeborg was asking, and Lydia and Sylvia were asking. And Sylvia says, I have these little tiny hairlines on my cheek, you know, that I'd like to get rid of with that. And why? Why? I mean, here we have the two babies sitting right next to each other, Lydia and Sylvia, with their complexion just like a baby's bottom. And they're thinking about using cream to make it even more of a baby's bottom. I mean, you want to really get young, don't you? You know. Okay, that's all right. But the cream is great. Herbert Marti sells a lot of it. I imagine it's quite expensive, too. And he sells a lot of it. And he is very popular with it. And he sells a lot of it. And he's it works, and he sells a lot of it. And he has just a lot of fun with it, okay? Herbert Marti says, my cream is good and I sell a lot of it. Now, that's good. That's a good commercial talk. And he's in the business of it. Now, my age reflection is brought about by my moment-by-moment thought. What is your moment-by-moment thought? Is your moment-by-moment thought, I'm getting wrinkles? I'm getting age lines. I'm getting all this age activity going on in my body. I look like a wrinkled prune, you know. And, of course, you are a wrinkled prune. You are whatever you think you are. So, what should we be doing? What could we be doing? What, and have the perfect complexion, have the perfect body texture of our skin? What could we be doing? Gertrude, what could we be doing?
I see myself always with a perfect skin.
I see myself always with a perfect complexion. Gertrude?
Yeah.
That's a lot of work, isn't it?
No.
You have to see yourself always with a perfect complexion. You see your body always free of wrinkles and so forth. Complexion. Okay, now, Gertrude? Gertrude? My age reflection is brought about by my moment-by-moment thought. What is your moment-by-moment thought? Is your moment-by-moment thought, I have the skin of a newborn baby? You know? Just wrinkle-free,
yes.
Full of life, full of vitality, full of power. You look at Jerome. Jerome's skin. I mean, his skin is beautiful, isn't it? And it's just so sensitive, so tender, so long. If you touch your own skin, it's firm and definite, but it is it's beautiful to touch, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the same with Sabrina. Now, why? Because their skin is young. Because their skin is youthful. Their skin has not had the ravages of age. Now, you like that word, ravages of age? And we have had the ravages of age upon our skin because we call ourselves over 18. Now, maybe Jerome is 13, 14, and he's over 13, 14. But why is it that we are not experiencing that same glorious skin texture that Jerome and Sabrina have, that other little children have, and that some adults have? Some adults have. Now, why is it? Well, because we're showing our age. The appearance of age is where my thought dwells. Age is an illusion, but the appearance of age is where my thoughts dwell. Where do your thoughts dwell? Now, what is the first thing that we can clear up to dispose of age in our existence?
Living in now.
That's the result. Let go of the past. Live in the now. We hold on to the past, which ages us. Every thought we have of the past ages us. And Ellen says, my mother did this, and my mother did that, and my mother did that. And every time she thinks of her mother, she thinks of the past. Now, it's not bad, it's not good, but in that is age. In that is a thought of yesterday, a thought of the past. Now, can Ellen think of her mother in the now?
Yes.
Does she think of her mother in the now?
Yes.
If she does, then she doesn't age. You see, we cannot get rid of our mothers. We cannot get rid of the experiences that are in our life that are part of our who we are. We cannot get rid of that. But we can get rid of thinking of them in the past. We can get rid of our remembrances of them. When you live with the consciousness of your mother, then you're living in the now with your mother in the now. If you're living in the memory of your mother, then you're living in the past. And you're living in that former time when you were younger and she was older. Have you ever noticed, and I'm sure you have, little children go to school and they call their teacher the old lady. They call her Missy. They call her Mr. Whatever. And you don't know. So you go to school at the teacher's visitation day, you know, where you go to meet your children's teacher, and you're looking for this old lady who is her teacher. Well, the old lady is some 19, 20-year-old, maybe 21-year-old girl who is the teacher of your daughter. And you say, old lady, my goodness sakes, that's just really a young spring chicken. But you see, it's the attitude. It's the attitude. Someone older and wiser than I. Someone who is showing me the pathway into my inner self. You see? Now, that is exciting, isn't it? That is really exciting. When we can realize how subtle and how simple it is that we put the term age upon us. And we put the term age upon us by living as our children would live. They think that anything older than them is ancient, you know. Anything older than them is, my goodness sakes, over the hill. And we know better. Because those people who are over the hill for children are just children to us. And not because we're so old, but because they are children to us. They're just beginning on their life experience. Now, if these 21-year-old teachers could learn to think in the now always, what would they do? Now, just play the game a little bit with me. What would a 21-year-old teacher do teaching these, say, fifth grade students or you know, fourth or whatever? What would the teacher do? The teacher would be one as the student. And when the teacher is one as a student, the teacher is one in age as a student. The teacher would feel refreshed and revitalized in every moment because she's living in the consciousness of the age of the student. Not in the then, but the now. The teacher is right there with this whole room full of kids who are, what do you say, 11, 12, something like that. And you say, well, oh, that's just a rambunctious age. No, it isn't. It's the age of magnificence. It's the age of creativity, the age of openness to new ideas and to new forefronts of knowledge. They're ready to be shown the pathway to their inner dwelling, to their inner magnificence, to their inner youth. And teach the youth how to find an inner youth. That's right. Because you want to encourage them to stay there in their consciousness. Stay in this young attitude of mind in their consciousness. Not that they stay 12, 13 years old, but they stay in the attitude of mind of that young consciousness. Now, is there anything wrong with that? Nothing at all. Those children will live immortally, eternally, in a perfect body, because they live in this. You cannot be hurt when you are a kid. You know, when you're an 18-year-old and you're in service, you'll never get killed. You'll never be hurt. You can do all the terrible, crazy, dumb things, and you will be untouched. And most of them are. You take 100 young people in age 18 in war, and there's only about 5 or 6 of them that get hurt or killed. The rest of them, you know, come through without a scratch, and they do. They do. Even in the terrible parts of war where you know, things are, the pictures that you see, the things that you know about, that's a couple thousand people. There's just maybe 100 that are having that terrible experience. There's not thousands of people who are being killed, maybe over the whole spectrum of 30 million people or 30,000 people or whatever it is, but it's just a small portion. People cannot conceive, it seems, when I tell them that the people who are in hospitals are in the super, 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 super minority. In a city of, say, 2 million people, there are maybe 7 hospitals, and each hospital has 100 or so beds. So that's 700 beds for 2 million people, more or less, you know, for 2 million people. Then how many people are sick? You know? Oh, a lot of people are sick and don't go to the hospital. Well, let's just use the hospital as a reference. But how many people really are sick? Very few. You see, we have this in our consciousness that the majority are there because the hospitals get talked about. And on our television and our radio, the news is only about the unhappy things that happen. The news is not about the happy things that happen. If they talked about only the happy things that happen, they'd have plenty to talk about, but it'd be boring. And the unboring thing is they're talking about the few, the tiny little minority, the teeny, teeny minority of people who are doing this. Now, just look at the black people. The black people in the United States were having a rough time. It was totally unfair, unrighteous for them. But somebody came along and led the tiny minority. They led just a few of the blacks. Most of the blacks didn't enter into this program. But let's say a couple thousand entered into it out of the millions or 2 million blacks who were there. Okay? Now, these couple thousand were on the forefront to say, black is beautiful. And all of a sudden, black turned from something that was not nice to something very nice. And not that it wasn't nice, it was a bad term. Okay, now, then the story continues, and all of a sudden the blacks are given all sorts of priorities, they're given all sorts of support by the federal government, they're given housing, and hey, how neat, isn't it? How neat. Whereas only moments before, this minority group didn't have a thing. And now things are looking up for them. Okay, now, I'm using that only as a reference from the point of view. Our little thoughts, our individual thoughts, well directed, bring about great results in our life. And we can be youthful like these young teachers are as we associate with youthful thoughts. with little people, if you will. Have you seen, looked at Dodie? Dodie is our nurse over in Switzerland, who is Dodo.
Dodo.
Dodo. You're Dodie. And you too. You're too. Dodo is our nurse over in Switzerland of babies. And what does she look like?
Like a baby.
She looks just like a big baby. Her skin is just elastic and sensitive and touching. Her gentleness, she has a gentleness of dealing with babies. She has the body of a well-fed baby. And she's just a glorious girl, just a glorious lady, just beautiful in every single way. She is in the baby consciousness. You see? She is in the baby. Now, Irene, on the other hand, is in the dying and the dead consciousness. And that is tough. And Irene is having some problems with that. And I told Irene, see them all alive. And she said, but their people don't want them to be alive. They want to clear the slate and go on with their lives. And, hey, that's okay. But if Irene, and she will, if Irene chooses, she can look at all of these people, young, vital, dynamic, and getting out of bed and going and doing their thing, or dying, whichever they want, but not in the in-between stage of pain and unhappiness because they're in the process of letting go and they don't know how to let go. So when Irene can do something about that, then what happens? Then what happens? When she can do so, then she will look like Dodo. She will act like Dodo. Dodo is Irene's best friend. Why? Because that consciousness that Dodo has is the consciousness that Irene has. At least that's what she wants. And that's what she's putting in her consciousness. Now you watch. You just watch Irene. And you'll see that she will be becoming that super being that her consciousness is directing herself to. What did she do with her mother? She took her mother, who was an unhappy old lady, in her 70s no less, an unhappy old lady, and had her put in a rest home. But when she was put in the rest home, Irene went to see her for a month every morning and said, Mom, I love you. Mom, you're wonderful. Mom, you're fantastic. And her mom was sound asleep and didn't hear a word. Ha, ha, ha. And as Irene said these things for 1 month, at the end of that month, her mother was born again. Her mother took on a new lease in life. Her mother, who hated men from the time that her husband had separated from her early in life and she had to raise the children alone. Ah, men, ah. Now she likes men. Now there's some men in her elderly home there, and they like her. And so what did she say to one of the men, the opera singer? She said, you know, when we're ready, my daughter can perform the wedding for us. And I thought that was so charming and so beautiful. But you see, youth. Now, when you get older, you don't want to get married because, you know, you're going to kick off very shortly. Well, if you're not planning on kicking off, if you're planning on being around for a while, if you're planning on being young for a while, and Lydia, that's her name. That's her mother's name, Lydia. Lydia is looking younger and younger every time I see her. Every time I see her picture, and a big smile on her face, especially when her boyfriend's sitting next to her, a big smile on her face which says, yes, 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 life is worth living. I feel like a happy girl, you know, a happy girl. And it's great. Her children now find it a joy to be with her, and her grandchildren find it a joy to be with the old lady, with the young lady. And you see, she changed her thought. She put in a new thought. Now, what she's doing is what we are doing. My age reflection is brought about by my moment-by-moment thought. Her moment-by-moment thought is that she is wonderful, that she is good. And you know, all the men and women in her rest home place, it's a nursing care home place, bring her cookies, bring her cakes, bring her drinks, lemonade or tea or whatever she wants to drink, and they'd serve her. And she sits there like a queen, accepting it in perfect order, because that's her new image of herself. Her new image of herself is that she is a charming, desirable, wonderful, friendly lady that people like to be friends with. Now, it wasn't so not too long ago, but we don't remember the past. It is so now. And you see, this is what Irene is doing to herself. And Irene is doing to herself by going to clown school so that she will become even younger yet, because she's going to be a jokester. She's going to be someone who sparkles up people's life. And of course, Stefan is helping her do that by teaching her how to laugh. And she's going to be sharing laughter with all of the people that she goes to, because she goes around mainly to people who are terminal, and it makes it a little tough. But what she wants to do is, she is sort of an angel with all the people she goes to visit. Because as an angel, she says to them, now, you can live in a healthy body if you want, or if you want to go, you can go. It's perfectly okay either way, whatever you choose to do. And the people thought, nobody ever told us that before. Nobody ever said that before. We never thought that before. We have a right to go, you know? And yes, you have a right to go. And people just don't know that. And so when Irene tells them that, their life has changed. They don't die now because they're supposed to die. They're going to live now because they can live. They don't have to die, or they don't have to not die. See, both are tough. You shouldn't die because that's evil. You know, you're going to go to hell if you die. You know, and my goodness sakes, then everybody's going to go to hell if everybody dies. But no. That is an important point there. Now, an appearance of age is where my thought dwells. Now, where does your thought dwell? Where does your thought dwell? Does your thought dwell on your happiness? Or does your thought dwell on the sadness? Now, Gertrude has a sister. And her sister is a charming lady. And she works as a nurse. And then she retired. And as she retired, she stopped being excited about life, and she started feeling life's pains and aches instead of other people's pains and aches. Before, she was always helping other people, and she was always able to do everything because she was loving for others. Now she had to do it for herself, and she didn't know how. And so, not knowing how, she just let things happen to her. Now, Gertrude saw that, and Gertrude was with her, talking to her, be whole and perfect, you're whole and perfect, you're fantastic, you're glorious. And her sister kept saying, I don't deserve it. Her sister kept saying, I don't deserve it because I haven't served as many people as I'd like to serve. I haven't done as much as I'd like to do. There's so much more in the world that I'd like to do. Well, Gertrude would say to her, well, you can't do more in the world if you're going to let yourself fall apart. And so, Gertrude shared her youthful love with them. And Gertrude brought the grandchildren to her and stimulated her with a desire for living a whole and hearty life. And many wonderful things happened. But she was living in a mausoleum. She was surrounded by ancient biddies and people who were on the shadow side of life. They no longer had the great enthusiasm to live beautiful and fulfilled lives. Now, if we could have gotten Margaret and taken her out and toured her around and got her excited about it, but you see, she always lived in her very small hospital world where she served others. She always lived in her own little yard and never did too much traveling. Now, Gertrude could have said, Margaret, I bought two tickets. We're going to go to campus. What? Yeah, to California. And we're going to have a retreat. We'll be there for 3 days, and then that's as much as I can take and you can take. So we'll be there for 3 days, and then we're going to go to Disneyland. I've reserved the hotel at Disneyland, and we're going to have a ball. And we're going to take Jerome and Sabrina along to show us how to have a good time. And Martha, you're going to ride on the Lindy Loop. You're going to ride on all these things. And Martha says, oh, you think so. But you watch when you're with Jerome and Sabrina. They won't let you not do these things. And she's about, but you know, I'm an old lady. I'm 72. I'm 71, you know, and 73 or whatever she was at the time that Jerome and Sabrina were going to take her on. But that's you. That's bringing her back to the age. Hey, I'm having so much fun since I've been, you know, 10 years old or 12 years old. My goodness sakes, you know. Whee! And you see, this is that sparkle, sparkle, sparkle that brings us into youth, that brings us into the dynamics of youth, that brings us into all of it, because age is an illusion. It's an illusion that all of us feel that we have to play it in our certain ways. Now, some of you, your grandparents always looked young, and some of you, your grandparents always looked all shriveled up. Now, some of you, your grandparents were in their 50s and 60s, and they were always young looking, and some of you, your grandparents were in their 50s and 60s, and they were all shriveled up. Now, why? You say, well, genes, chromosomes, and stuff like that. No. Mental attitude. Mental attitude. My grandfather, on my mother's side, Grandpa Cameron, he looked all shriveled up. He worked in a meat market, and he worked in a tough time, and he did all the tough stuff, and it was, life was tough for him, and so he shriveled up with the toughness of it. And in his later years, in his late 50s, he was reading the German newspapers, and it was the time of the war and so forth, and he was reading all about these things, about the unhappiness of the world and stuff, and what was going on? He was aging himself, and it wasn't long before he died. He did not think young. He had grandchildren, but oh, I can't get up. I worked in the butcher shop and working in that cold and going in the freezer and coming out in the warm and doing this and that. You know, it gets to your legs and gets to your arms and some. But he called himself an old man. Now, if he could have had somebody sparkling him to be a young man, he would have been it. Now, do you know anybody like that? And I won't say anything more than just this. And does their name begin with the same initial as yours? And is their first name the same as yours? Mm-hmm. Do you know people like that who feel arthritis pains, who feel all sorts of rheumatism, who feel all sorts of these silly things? Those are all things of the mind. And you ask Ingeborg about it, and Ingeborg will tell you that these things are all of the mind, and the doctor can do nothing about it. All the doctor can do is give you some pain pills to make it feel less painful. But you've got it, and it's there forever. Well, now, you're going to the wrong doctor. You're going to the wrong doctor. You should be going to Dr. Barley. And when you come to me, I will say, let's change your stinking thinking. And let's start thinking about wholeness. Let's start thinking about a body that wants to live forever and be dynamic and forceful and fantastic. Let's live in that type of body. You know? Sylvia went to her doctor, and the doctor said, she said to her doctor, now I know that this is something that you don't have a cure for at the time, and I know that all you're going to do is just give me some very expensive medicine to make me feel better or take away the pain or whatever. I know that's what you're going to do. I know that. And then the doctor said, well, what can I tell you? You know what I know, but not what I was going to tell you. I wasn't going to tell you these things, but you know it. And you see, there's nothing they can do. So what does Sylvia have to do? The only place that Sylvia has to work is in her mind. The only place you have to work is in your mind. And when you're working in your mind, age is an illusion. The age can be dissipated. It can be completely reversed. And it's not a matter of reversing it. It's a matter of living in your youth. Now, can you live in your youth?
Yes.
Can you live in your dynamics of youth and the wonderment of it? It's a fantastic thing. I told Ingeborg, I'm giving her this game, and I'll give that one to Sylvia and Ellen too. I'm giving her this game called Sim City. And in Sim City, you create the people. And they manifest right for you in the computer game. And you make them with your ethics, with your values. And some people are pretty strange values. And you make them with your values. You make them businessmen with your values. You make them mothers and fathers with your values, children with your values. And it's interesting what some people come up with. Some people come up with people that are just outrageous, but called S-I-M-S, Sims City. And so I got the copy from Nolan, and really we probably should buy the new one. And I put it on my computer, but I put it on my computer, but it, I think there's some missing points there. But it is a great thing to keep you young, because you see how your thought creates the people there. Your actions, your choice of buttons that you press. You want them to have good values. You want them to have healthy bodies. You want them to be dynamic people. You want them to be loving, central. You want them to be successful in their business. And you create all these things. And if you would spend a half an hour to an hour every day on that, you would be like in the world of God creating a world. And you would be God creating those people and that world, and you would get accustomed to doing that. You'd be accustomed to having the illusion be reality. Whatever your thought is, you're bringing it forth into some dynamic, wonderful, powerful way. It's fantastic. So, you know, it's something to think about, something really exciting to think about. I can say we probably should get one of the newest ones rather than go with this old one. I put it on and it might just mess up the computer actually because it's old. But age is an illusion. Old? The old Sims, you know? Age is an illusion. Around me are ageless beings. Is that the truth for you too? Around you are ageless beings?
Yes.
What kind of beings are around you? Are they children? Like Gertrude, she keeps her grandchildren around her, and her grandchildren keep her young. And then Gertrude wanted to go even further. She wanted to go even further into her diaper time, and she created Luna in her world. And so she has this baby puppy who is now 1, 2 years old.
Four?
Where did the time go? A four-year-old puppy. And that dog has worked wonders with Gertrude, you know? You know what that dog did to Gertrude? That dog said, Mother, you must take me for a walk once or twice a day. You must go out in the rain, in the snow, in the sleet, in the hail, the sun, and whatever. And Mom, we got to stop and talk to other dogs on the way. We got to stop to talk to other dogs on the way and see what they're doing. And we got to learn who they are. And we got to have fun. Mom, come on, Mom. It's time for us to take our walk. Come on, Mom. And so Mom cons in some of her other guests to take Luna for a walk occasionally. And Luna says, Mom, it's not the same. They don't understand me like you do. So come on, Mom, you take me for a walk. And so she finally acquiesces and takes it. But you see, it makes her younger because she gets on her trekking shoes and she goes hauling at out there and just following that dog, having a ball. And he pulls a little bit now and then, or she, and not too much. But and then she takes him through the forest. She takes him over hill and over dale. I mean, places she might never have gone herself, because it's not pleasant. You'd go there too yourself?
Yeah.
Yep. It's your, no. Do you take Luna on the basket in your bike?
No.
No.
On the bike, I go alone.
On the bike, you go alone. Okay.
That's my time alone.
That's your time alone. Well, that's good too. That's good too. Now, do you feel young and dynamic when you get on your bike?
Yes.
You feel like you can just pedal up and down those hills and go around the Grafen Sea having a wonderful time?
Yes.
And you feel young and dynamic and young and dynamic. young and youthful, la da da da, la da da da. What are the words to that, Dorothea? Come on now, baby. Here she is doing her exercises of touching her toes, leaning forward with her knees straight, just doing all sorts of wonderful things. What?
That was amazing.
That's not amazing. That's what she does. Do it, Dorothea. Come on, all the way, all the way. Oh, my goodness sakes. She's one of the Folies Bergère dancers. That's lovely. See, this is the kind of world we live in. Around me are ageless beings. Dogs are ageless beings. And you know, dogs get arthritis just like their owners get arthritis. Yes, dogs get pain in the neck just like their owners get pain in the neck. Dogs are eternally youthful just like their owners are eternally youthful, you know? Well, look at Rex. I mean, he's my dog.
2 years old.
Hush.
Baby.
You want a problem?
No.
Don't give away my packs. Yeah, Rex turned 2 on December 4th. Or December 4th, wasn't it? Yeah. So he's 2 years old. But he gets out here, he's over almost 100 pounds, 90-some pounds, and he gets out here and he races around here and he leaps. And when he comes into the living room of the monastery, we have a couple of chairs there that are stuffed chairs with leather on them. And with one leap, he leaps over the back of the chair onto the chair. And then another leap, he leaps across the coffee table to the couch on the other side of the coffee table. And with another leap, he leaps back to a chair on one of the ends. And then he lays his head over it and looks at us and says, "Isn't that neat? Can you guys do that? Can you guys?" And then if we say cookie, with a snap, he's out of that chair in the air and standing gently waiting for his cookie. You see, he is unlimited. And of course, is it just because he's youthful? No. Because he thinks he can do it. Now, we have lots of other dogs, big dogs who have been around us, who were not of the nature that Rex is and do not leap and jump and do the things that he does. But he is unlimited. He doesn't know there's a thing that he can't do. All he does is says, that'd be fun, I'm going to do it. And he does it. Okay, I can reverse age by where my thought stands. Are you ready now to reverse age by where your thought stands? Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Anyone want to tell me what's the first thought we have to reverse if we want to, and thereby standing your age? What's the first thought you reverse?
Youthfulness.
Well, I would hope you wouldn't reverse that.
Yes.
Oh, reverse. What's the first thought you'd reverse to demonstrate more youthfulness, agelessness?
Joy? No, you're saying reverse.
The biggest thing you want to reverse is your nose.
Oh.
You have your nose into everybody else's business. Oh, she's 45, so therefore she can do this. She's 99, so therefore she can't do this. And she's 112, so you're 112, and you're still going to square dances? You're 112, you're still driving your car, you're still... Oh, what a way to talk. Of course she's still driving. She never saw herself not driving. She never saw herself not going to square dances. You been to a square dance?
Oh, yes.
Aren't they fun? Skip-a-maloo, my darling Sue. You see, and it's moving. Oh, you're twirling and you're turning, and everybody's grabbing you and spinning you, and you're spinning them, and you're having a great old time. And when you get done, you're not tired. You're standing there waiting for the next round to begin.
Good. No, see, no.
Do-si-do, your partner, right. You see, and this is what you want to do. You're living in this dynamic attitude. I told you the story. Edith, Mary, and I went to weddings from some of our friends at the church in Minneapolis. And Edith, Mary is a little heavy lady and short, and she wore wooden shoes, you know, wooden clogs, to this dance. And so I said, "Edith, Mary, you want to dance?" "Oh, yes." So we danced the polka. Well, she was short, so I had to bring her up to my height. And so I brought her up to my height, and as we whirled around, her shoes went flying. I was wondering they didn't kill somebody. But they just went flying. And until the dance was over, she never touched the floor. And we had a good time. And she was quite heavy, but we had a good time. And we danced about four dances, and finally she said, "I'm tired." She was tired. But you see, she wasn't doing the dancing. If she had been on the floor doing the dancing, she would have had so much energy and enthusiasm, I should have let her down there, you know, bent over for her. And if I were John Dainty, I could do that. John Dainty is 6'5" or 6 inches tall, and when he dances with the little children, he squats down to half his size, and then he's doing this dance with the kids, and it's just wonderful. And the kids just love it. And the older people thrill with the magic of that man. But you see, this is eternal youth. Of course, John is a young man, and he will always be a young man, because he does not know how to grow up. Who is that Tinkerbell? Peter Pan?
Peter Pan.
I don't want to grow up. I don't want to grow up. Yeah, what a wonderful story. What a wonderful thing to do. I don't want to grow up. Did Mary Poppins grow up? She was very proper, but she never grew up. You see, all these people, you look at them in the movies, and you look at them even now, and they have never grown up. They are always this dynamic, youthful, young people, because they can reverse the age. And not reverse the age, they just don't experience it. They experience eternal youth. And the reason they experience eternal youth is because they live in this eternal youth. When I walk the 3-mile path around campus here, going up and down the mountain hills here, and go on up to the top over here and do all neat things, not all the way to the top of the mountain, but up a ways, I admit to that. But when I do that, when I am done, I feel great. Every bit of my energy, every bit of my cells just feel alive and vitality. And then you know what I say to myself? Rex, want to go again? Want to go again? And there are times I've done 3 and 4 times in a row. So 3 miles each time, you know, that's 12 miles for 4 times. And I feel good. Of course, by then it's time for lunch. And so I come in and stoke up. And then I want to go again, Rex, you know? But you see, it's a joy to walk. It's a joy to do these things. It's a joy to be in these things. And this is what you want to do. And there's nobody telling you, walk faster, walk slower, walk this, walk that. I have been with people who, like John Dainty, who walks with his long legs. You know, one stride is maybe 3 of mine. Yeah, he really is a tremendous walker. And he loves to walk. And to walk with him for me, to walk with him for me, is tiring. Because it's not my pace. And so I don't walk with other people. I really don't. I don't walk with anybody, not Ellen or anybody else, because I want to walk by myself. I walk with my dog, and even he wants to pull. And I said, "You walk with me. You walk with me." And he does. But you see, eternal youth is engaging yourself in all of these activities that are youthful. It's not a matter of going to Disneyland, that's youthful too, or going to SeaWorld and any of these other places, but what it is in the eternal youth attitude of it, like the Tinkerbell attitude, and like the Peter Pan, and like Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse is eternally young, you know? And Pluto, and Daisy, and all of the people in the cartoon characters, they're forever young. Little Abner was a cartoon strip in the funny papers as I was growing up. And Little Abner was built just like Mr. Wonderful, you know, but a kid. He was a kid. He was maybe 17, 18 years old, maybe 19, you know, in the comic strip. And he wore coveralls that were always falling off on this shoulder here, but strapped around here. And he just was built wonderful, just really wonderful. And Daisy May, his girlfriend, wore these teensy-weensy little skirts and teensy-weensy little bra things, and it was okay, even though it was not what the style would have been. You would have thought that's a little risque. And all the characters of that remain the same age, year after year after year after year. And Lil Abner and Daisy May never got married. They were the best of buddies, and they would go dancing together, and they would go to parties together. And Lil Abner would polish his shoes when he went to, well, he put his shoes on when he went to the party. Otherwise, he never wore shoes. And you see, they remained young. They remained young. And it was so charming. And really, that's what we do. We draw the strip of our life, the cartoon strip of our life. Do we have ourselves growing old, or do we have ourselves remaining young? Do we have ourselves being fantastic, or what do we have ourselves being, you see? What, if you were drawing a cartoon strip and you were good, and you were drawing a cartoon strip of yourself, what would you draw? You know, Batman and Robin is a cartoon strip too, and of course it's other movies and what have you, but Batman always remains as this 32-year-old man who is a very successful man, and he puts on his bat face and outfit, and he looks just like Batman, and he gets in his Batmobile, his car changes over to a Batmobile, and his faithful sidekick Robin is a young boy of maybe about 15 or 17, and he goes with Batman as they do their adventures and stop evil wherever they can be found. And Superman, does Superman ever get older? He's always the same. Superman's always the same. And Tarzan. Tarzan only grows up by other writers. But Edgar Rice Burroughs, he never had Tarzan grow up. Tarzan, yes, he was a baby. And he was raised by the apes. But then all his adventures are when he was in his 20s or 30s, you know. And he was always the same. Always the perfect body, always the perfect loincloth on him, you know, always the perfect ability to do anything, and where he got these shreds from to fly through the air and stuff like that, you didn't care. Everything was okay. Everything was okay because it was good, and he always did good. And then he would bellow, ah! And all of the animals of the jungle would come out and support him in whatever effort he had. He had harmony, peace, joy. He had perfection in everything he did. And why not? You see, this is how you can create your world if you want. This is how you can have your world if you want to, so that you experience all these neat things, and you experience all these wonderful things that are your nature, and I can reverse age by where my thought stands. Lil Abner was always the same age, and Daisy May, always the same, Tarzan, always the same, and the same with Superman, and all these other people. You say, well, what is that? What is that? Well, that's you. That's humanity's desire to remain ageless. Humanity's desire to remain ageless are represented in these cartoon strips. Oh, they become more sophisticated nowadays, but nonetheless, the old ones were the same. The Katzenjammer kids, you ever hear about them? These were the three or four little boys who were always getting into mischief. Mischief was their middle name. And the old man, he was Mr. Katzenjammer, whatever it was, he was a little chunky and
what a name.
And he was just a great old guy, and they never aged. They never aged. Now, you don't have to either. You don't have to either. When you have your thought, wherever it stands, you reverse your age, and reverse is not the right word, but you place your age wherever your thought is. Now, where is your thought? Is your thought in eternally young, like Rex here? My gosh, he lays on his back and he stretches and rolls, and he is the happiest guy, and he's just doing whatever pleases him. Now you, do whatever pleases you. You enjoy eternal youth right now by drawing your own cartoon strip and drawing your own cartoon strip year after year after year, with you being the young, dynamic, wonderful, fantastic person that you are. Because that's who you are. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.
Love
and
you.
I guess we're over here. So we shut it off over here.